Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Jimmy James, and welcome to the Drama Free Zone, where the topics are empowering and enlightening. Feel free to call in and join the conversation, but all that we ask is that you save the drama for your mama. And now, our gracious host, Miss Maria Di Giovanni.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Live at 5 in the Drama Free Zone. I just wanted to say hello, and this is October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. But before we start talking about that, I wanted to send a big thank you to everybody that participated in this last weekend's event. Are you there, Jimmy James? Are you with us?
I'm with you.
This weekend was an amazing experience. And I just want to thank everybody that traveled from all over the place. Jed, you traveled from Oregon, and we have Coretta that traveled from New Jersey, and Rebecca and Beth that traveled in, came in from Virginia, and just everybody that locally in Southern California, that we all just came together and we locked arms and we joined voices. And I know that Rebecca is on the road right now, and she is doing a lot of stuff, and we're going to hope that she calls in. But if not, we know that you're pretty busy, my dear girl, but you had a spectacular weekend, and I was so blessed and honored to be able to watch you become a dame under the Imperial Order of St. Helen and then get crowned as our first Mrs. U.S. Ambassador, which, by the way, the banner has arrived, and I will make sure that you get that into your custody just as soon as possible, my beautiful friend. So, but we also had a wonderful Sunday, and we did a fashion show, and it was
Maria?
A benefit. Yes.
Sorry, I was gone away for a bit, but we have Jed and Susan waiting for you.
Oh, wonderful. Give me just a minute, and I'll get them on in a second.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I got a lot going on over here.
That's okay.
It's
Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and on Sunday we went ahead and did a fashion show to benefit a beautiful woman by the name of Trish Steele, who runs a great 501c3 nonprofit organization by the name of Women Crowned in Glory. One of her divisions of that is Safe Passage, where she goes and she gets women out of shelters and makes sure that they have everything they need. If they need, you know, makeovers or clothes or assistance getting jobs, which brings me to, again, wanting to speak and end up this Domestic Violence Awareness Month with a friend of mine by the name of Susan Murphy Milano. And she is a special person in my life just due to the fact that there's very few people out there on the forefront of what I call LEO IBV, which is Law Enforcement Officer Involved Domestic Violence. And as far as For Beyond the Green International Ministry goes, this particular division, which I call Brain.biz, due to a woman up in Washington who was murdered by her police chief's husband, who also killed himself, focusing on this particular domestic violence is really difficult. And this woman is amazing just simply because of her own story, which I will let her share a little bit about it with you in a moment. But Susan Murphy Milano is a nonfiction author of violence expert. She hosts a weekly crime show called Time's Up, addressing real-life unsolved and...
Hello? Oops.
Jimmy, is Susan there?
I'm here. Here's Susan. Susan, you're on.
All right. Hi.
Sorry about that. Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Again, it's such an honor to have you on the show, just simply because this topic of law enforcement officer involved domestic violence is is so overlooked, and I really want to raise the violence or the volume on it, but I want you to share with our audience just who you are, why you focus on intimate partner abuse, and how we came to know each other.
You know, I think that sometimes I don't know who I am. I mean, I got involved with this in 1989 after years of abuse. My mother was murdered by my father, who happened to be a Chicago violent crimes detective. And in wanting to change how the system didn't work or did work, at the crime scene of the house that I grew up in, my father's partner said she drove him to this and basically tried to silence me, and I refused. And I wanted, back then in 89, there was not hardly anything at all but two books on the shelf across the country, one by Lenore Walker and another one by another woman. Her name escapes me, and that was it. And it was not talked about. The laws were on the books. It was terrible. And, you know, through the years of me doing this work across the country, you and I have hooked up through Denise Brown and other works that you have done, through the incredible work that you do, with the foundation and things, and it's an important issue. And also, you know, because of your relationship to Crystal Brown and that whole family and what took place. And I think that people need to understand that this is an epidemic. This is not behind closed doors anymore. They're taking this out in the streets. You're out in California. Week before last, a man walks in and just shoots 8 people. One
right.
of them happened to be his ex-wife. I mean, and so it's, we see it all the way. Whether you're a police officer or not, that gives you the extra advantage to abuse. And I always say that I had a serial victim for a mother and a serial offender for a father who happened to have a badge and a gun. And I spent 18 years on a crime scene. And a lot of what I do keeps women alive. A lot of, you know, everybody that's come to me in all these years, nobody's lost their life. And these are the most terrific cases, from Stacey Peterson, a police officer's wife who's still missing. She, and her anniversary of when she went missing is coming right up, October 28th. Is when she
right.
went missing out of Bolingbrook, and she's never been seen. And I think that I had thought, when Peterson served the country burnt toast for breakfast when she went missing, that maybe a hair on her head would not be touched because of what happened to Kathleen. And then when the body was exhumed with Kathleen Savio, and I hate to say wife number 1, 2, 3, 4, but, you know, and that's what he's now behind bars for, awaiting trial sometime next year for Kathleen's murder, but they haven't had enough yet for Stacy, to charge him on Stacy.
Mm-hmm. And that's going on 4 years now. I know, just watching that man on TV, I could not watch him on TV. And I still, to this day, cannot watch him on video or anything, just because he triggers me so badly. And he is such a typical example of that arrogant, egotistical, better-than-thou cop mentality that I have seen out there. And don't get me wrong, I love cops. I was married to two of them. One saved my life from the other. But there, we have a problem here, and that's my main objective, is to raise the volume so people will understand that we've got a problem. And how are we going to protect our kids so they don't have to witness what you've witnessed? And yes, you were an older child witnessing this as far as the death of both of your parents. But it still doesn't change what you went through in that home growing up. And I don't know what that is. But anyway, it's just really important to me to just raise the volume on this. But I want you to talk, before we get too much into the reasons why we talk about domestic violence when it comes to law enforcement, I want you to explain to me a little bit more what your definition is of intimate partner
abuse. It's intimate partner abuse. Intimate partner,
yeah,
can be a man or a woman. There are a lot of officers, both men and women, who potentially could be abusive.
Right.
And to me, a domestic denotes a broom and a scarf on the head, and we don't put enough emphasis on the importance of that, especially nowadays with all these crimes of these missing women, notably Stacey Peterson. And if you look at that case, because she was a police officer's wife and nobody has heard or seen from her, where could she have gone for help? What could she have done that would have done anything for her safety? Nothing. And so we have more issues in this country where if it's an officer-involved situation, a shooting, even a crime that they take care of on the streets, as they protect our streets, that they are relieved of duty for 3 days, and they get to go and because they've seen so much trauma, so much of the streets, so much of the crime, so much blood, they get help. But where does a police officer's wife go? She has very little places to arrive at. IAD, Attorney General's office, there's very few places. So to me, it means being 10 steps ahead of the offender, thinking outside the box, disarming him. You know, he's playing what I call Vulcan chess. And she's got to learn how to do that and step aside. And in doing this, it is because of Stacey Peterson that on Monday, October 31st, in South Carolina with a company by the name of Whetstone, it's a subsidiary of Allen Corp, and we announced the first ever technology that's going to be a voice for victims. It's going to help prosecutors. And it's also in my book, Time's Up, which is the evidentiary abuse affidavit. And that came out of when Stacey had gone to the church and she had met with the pastor. He had all this video equipment behind him, you know, that they taped for their sermons. And I said, why didn't you tape her? Because he didn't think about it. And so I said, I'm going to come back. And within a year, I came back. And I came up with what is the abuse document, the evidentiary abuse affidavit and video. And it's a will. And if people want to go to SusanMurphyMilano.com, they can see the reenactment of this. But again, it's found in Chapter 4 of the book. And she puts everything down there. So for the first time, you hear the words of her, maybe one or two instances of abuse. I know that there's many more, but that's all they need to do. They need to say when they were married, if they had children, if he's on meds, if there's guns, what he has told her that would happen to her. Because if something does happen to her, after she prepares it, it's witnessed by two witnesses and then notarized, just like a will. And then as an added measure, she reads it into a camera, into a cell phone. But now with this new technology, she'll be able to do it from an app or from the Whetstone Technologies website. And you know, this is groundbreaking. So here is a company stepping up to the plate from a tool from a book that I have been using, and it's still in place and it's still effective. Even if something happens to the woman, and so far nothing has happened to them that have used this, but if it should, he's immediately arrested. So let's say when Stacey went missing, if Stacey had done this within 48 hours, Drew would not be dancing on the streets a free man for 18 full months, Maria. So I had an agency for a number...
I'm having major technical difficulties over here. I have a computer that might crash, so I can't bring in your other guests.
Okay,
that
that's all right.
Waiting.
We'll just keep
you guys
going
keep
this
talking.
Way.
I'm trying to fix it. We might have to restart and call back in. So
that's
keep
okay.
Talking.
Let's just keep going with it. Everybody else doesn't need to call in right now. Okay.
Okay. There you go.
Thanks. Okay.
So Drew Peterson. He would have been arrested because her words, regardless of what would have happened, because we have something in this country called Crawford versus Washington, and it was out of a California case by the name of Giles, who had murdered his girlfriend and said, hey, wait a minute, I have the right to face the person that's accusing me of the killing. Well, she's not here, because he made her go away. So what this does is it removes it. It also helps prosecution so that you see a lot of these cases across the country. We'll look at in Barbara Vanneman in New Jersey, 2006, I believe, of May. He shoots her twice in the torso. The crime scene was never processed because he had defensive wounds. He was a sergeant. His family was a longstanding line of police officers. She was leaving. She was ending the marriage. And on a computer screen somewhere, on an email or something, it said, I don't know what the future holds to me. That's not enough. And when these victims tell somebody, it's not enough. So that's why this application is so important. And in doing this, I've been doing this since 1990, and it was being in the courts. It was getting the stalking law passed in Illinois, the Lautenberg Act, which says if you are a police officer, you will be convicted, and you will, even whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony, you will not be able to go back on active duty. It's not to slam the officers. It's to show accountability. So where is the accountability? And I'm seeing in a lot of these cases, the cases are being downgraded. So that I got into a debate about it a couple weeks ago on a case. They said, well, he wasn't charged with this, and this is what the end result, and he got probation. He's still on the job in another state. And I said, well, did they respond to a domestic to the home? Yes or no? That's all I want to know. And the lawyer said, well, I said, it's not a well answer. Yes or no? Yes.
Right.
I said, my point, it's a violation of the Lautenberg Act. So,
yeah.
It's about educating. It's about getting the information out there for, you know, people to use. It's the prescription. This is the first time that we've got a tool.
I don't know if that's background noise between you or if there's really
I'm not in a place where you could hear a sound.
Okay, neither am I. So maybe, Jimmy, if you can work on that, please. There must be something wrong with this tonight. I have a couple questions for you. But that's really sounding bad.
I can barely hear you.
Yeah, so can you mute your mic or something? You and I have been wanting to do something together for a long time. There is a woman up in San Fernando Valley, and she is my for-profit partner, business partner, and she helps me tremendously with everything that I'm doing with FOR and elevating all these women. We are starting the first in plain sight safe home for women who are married to police officers. Is there anything like this that you have in everything that you're doing in every city that you're in state? Have you heard of anything like this happening anywhere else in the country?
No, but there's a lot of obstacles with that. I mean, you're going to have bulletproof glass. I mean,
yes.
There's so many things with technology that we don't even know. I mean,
right.
I learn about them every day. So, and it's at these people, at these individuals' disposal. So I don't know that sometimes that's the answer with that, unless you can get a major company to put in certain things that, you know, are a place for them to figure out what they need to do. I never believed in shelters ever because to me, a dog gets better, funding across
right.
the country. And
exactly.
And so, to me, that's not a good word. But
well, see,
a wellness...
That's why I don't want to use shelter, because it's not really a shelter. It's just one of the things that I remember, and I still do, even to this day, the biggest desire that I have is to feel safe. I just want to be in a place where I'm safe. And so that's why I just thought, well, it's really not a shelter. It's just a safe haven for them, almost like a transition.
It is to a certain extent, but when you're an officer, I think that their tools are different, and I don't know that here, you know, because here on a cell phone, if the child is with the mother, he might call dad, and he's going to be able to track perhaps that person through a keylogger device or a system on her phone that they don't know about.
Well,
what we're battling across the country is technology with these offenders. That's the only thing I worry about. Shelters are fine. That's great. But it's the technology I worry about that'll get to the door or to the car.
That's the reason why it has to be an in-plain-sight shelter. It cannot be an in-plain-sight safe place or haven or home. Because it can't be something that's hidden because of technology. And I was married to undercover, man. There was no place to go, no place to hide.
And look at Google Map and Google Earth.
Okay.
You can see where everybody's at.
That's the reason why.
Unless you buy a bank. Why don't you just buy a bank, because it's got vaults. Buy a bank and take a building, but make it a building that is more for a commercial use. That it is not. That's less descriptive than, you know, a building on a residential street. I mean, I've been at shelters all over the country, and they have difficulty, but they do it. But they're not up against, you know, law enforcement offenders coming at their door.
I mean, it's just like when I called. I was telling you about this the other day. I called the Secretary of State, and I said, "Dude, I said, who's going to be accountable for the safety of the women in this home?" And he said to me, well, your local police department. I said, no. I said, because there's somebody in the home who needs to be protected by the local police department. So you can't have the local police department policing themselves, especially in LAPD.
And well, fear to me stands for facilitating ending the abusive relationship. Part of the problem is resources from, you know, all these agencies, looking at, especially in California, they've gotten cut down. They've gotten removed. And they've worked so hard for so many years to keep these women alive. Look at that. And now, you know, now how many agencies are left in California, in the state?
Right.
When Governor Schwarzenegger, you know, took out that huge chunk, was it $90 million or $126 million? I forget. He took it out. And what does it say then to the victims? What does it say when offenders not are arrested to a victim? It says that nobody cares. And so it's so important for the facilities, the social service agencies, and that's why you don't see the women come forward. But they have to, now it seems, after doing this all these years, that there needs to be other mechanisms. There needs to be, she needs to be taught certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And before she utters a word, she needs to do this evidentiary abuse affidavit. And I send them out all day long, or somebody that I work with does. And they get sent out, and people do them, because they have to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the difficulty with if a woman leaves any state, regardless, and there's not custody determined by the courts, then she's abducting her own child. So what do you do with that? I mean, there's, for everything that she does, she's got to turn around and do 100 things. That's exhausting, Maria.
Oh, yes, I know. I've lived the life. I get it. I get it. This is why it's so important. And, no, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm the first to admit that I don't know what I'm doing. No one's ever done this before.
I've done it. I've done it. And in doing it, landlords donated residences. Or I had residents at my disposal at different places across various parts of the cities of different states.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was effective, and that's how they survived a little bit better, especially if they were high-risk cases.
Right.
So I didn't put them in one place, and there was a lot of rules, even though they were kind of self-sufficient in a way, but nobody knew where they lived. And they couldn't communicate with family. They couldn't text anybody. They couldn't, well, they didn't have texting then, as they readily do now, but they couldn't do a lot of things if they wanted to be safe. And it's very difficult because she's been in a very toxic, brainwashed environment.
Right.
And so how do you undo that? I mean, that, and sometimes people don't, the system and society doesn't do enough. We do more on the road for people who drive drunk. We do more to secure an arrest than we do for a victim of violence. And what does that say to the world? For her life.
But let me ask you a question, because we have about 8 minutes and I really want to get this in due to the fact that there are people listening right now that are family. This is family members of Leo IDD, and they see that it's happening, and they see
then right away
that
they go and they first of all they need to do the evidence abuse affidavit. They need to do that document.
But here's the deal. Okay, here's the problem. Not only is he, the perpetrator, a police officer, she is also a police officer.
Yeah.
We can watch the isolation happening. We can see all the red flags that are
going
on.
I've got a case right now like that. They're both police officers.
But she's not saying that there's a problem. You see what I mean?
Well, there's a way to talk them into it, just as a prescription kind of a measure. Just do this just for who? You make you feel better. It's your will kind of thing. And if they know that they can do it and they're not going to be outed for it, they will do it.
Okay.
Good.
So it's how you speak to them.
Okay. Just a minute. I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Because what advice would you give to family members who are sitting there watching abuse happen to their sister, their child, but she will not recognize that it's happening?
Part of it is that nobody would believe her.
Maria, psychologically,
if she thinks she can do this, because I've been seeing it a lot, if she feels that she can prepare the video and the document, first and foremost, she feels that somebody's going to know something should she just vanish or just die or it be made to look like a suicide. In North Carolina, I can't think of his name, but her name is Amanda Graham. August 10th, She is shot. He claims suicide. He's a former chief of police, but then a captain of a town 10 miles over, and they still haven't decided in North Carolina whether it was a suicide, but there's two spent shell casings on the bed. Neighbors say with a wonderful couple there, and they didn't hear anything. They never heard arguing. They never heard the damn shots, Maria. So what does that tell you? And there's 230 botched cases that the state has to now go back in on because of investigations and forensic issues. So what are they doing with this? This is a police officer's fiance slash wife, because I wasn't sure if she was actually technically married. Some stuff says she was, some stuff says she wasn't. Had she done this, many women in her position, somebody's going to know something, and that's what they fear. It's not so much sometimes that they don't want to be outed by the embarrassment of the abuse. It's that if they can prepare this, that they somehow psychologically get stronger and better, and they feel that, okay, at least I did this. At least I did something to acknowledge it. And, yeah, they still might act that way afterwards to the family, but know that they might have done this. And I deal with a lot of women who will say to me, by the way, Susan, they'll get a hold of me on Facebook or by email, I did this just so you know, and I'm sending it to you, or just as an FYI. And again, a lot of the women, at a certain point when they can smell the change, when they know he's going to get that way, and the friends and family know, what does she always do? What does in every case happen? She says, if something happens to me, she doesn't have to do that anymore.
Right.
And if it becomes across the country.
Excuse me, ladies. We got to get Rebecca up. We got Rebecca and Jed. We got 3 minutes left. We got to get them on and say hello.
Give us a minute, Jimmy. If we need to go longer, we will. Okay?
Okay.
We have callers on the radio. Let's go ahead and finish this, and then we'll get them on, because I know they have some questions, and
yes.
I got that note. So thank you, and we'll get them on in
You're welcome.
1 minute. Go ahead, Susan.
Psychologically, you're giving them a tool and saying, and well, the accepted practice, hopefully, which is what I'm working on, which is also called the Harm Reduction Act, is that every courthouse in America will have this. He won't know whether she did this or not. So it's time's up for him, and time's up for her to say, I'm done. I've had enough. And that's what we have to take. Just like a key in a car, you're not going to drive drunk. This is what I hope this will do. And I hope I see it in my lifetime. Because I've been at this for so long that to have this technology now, after all this time, I don't know that I'll be around in the next 20 years to see it.
Well, I'm, as you know, I am dedicated as far as law enforcement officer involved. My last name legally is not Brain for no reason. And I really am intending to step it up even more so. And God has given me a very large platform. I have a feeling much larger than I ever expected,
and that's right. He is. He has, you've done an amazing job, and really changed a lot of people's lives just in what you do every day.
I'm just concerned for our children, and if we can just continue to save one cop out there and give him the tools that he needs to learn how to deal with the stress that they deal with on a daily basis. And you know, because you're a cop's kid, you totally get where my kid comes from. So that's why I appreciate you more than life. And there are some people that want to come in and say hello. I know they want to also talk about this weekend. So before they come on, I want you, Susan, to go ahead and tell our audience how they can get a hold of you and where they can contact you so they can get more information on Time's Up and how they can listen to you and everything that you're doing on the radio.
They can go to my website at SusanMurphyMilano.com. They can email me at MurphyMilano@gmail.com. I do 3 radio shows a week, one on Thursday afternoon from the Zeus Radio Network. It's a live studio show. We put cases on. We put people on who are worried or are in fear of their lives. I do Crime Wire on Tuesday nights and The Raw Show, which is a nationally syndicated show, on Wednesday nights. And I do a lot of cold cases. I do a lot of suspicious death cases. The Time's Up book is available. If they go to Amazon, that's probably the easiest way. Or they could order it on Kindle or my site off for an e-book. So it's available in different places.
I really want you to pray and consider about launching Arms and joining forces with us officially, because I really believe that God is really pushing us to move forward with this. The people around me in this organization, they're all stepping up and taking over where God is telling them to take over, which is giving me the opportunity to focus on what I want to focus on, and that is Brain.biz, because this is business. It's not personal. This doesn't have anything to do with, you know, my ex-husband or what happened to me. This has to do with what we're going to do to save our children and future wives out there of officers that are too stressed to be able to handle their job.
That's right.
I just appreciate you and everything that you do. Thank God for you that when I do have a victim that crosses my path that needs you, you're there for me every single time that I've presented one to you. And I just thank you with